Our guest this week is Julie Lee, an InterVarsity alumna who is involved in the music scene in Nashville, has a few records out. You moved to Nashville how many years ago?
13 years ago.
Okay, so you've been involved in the music scene there for quite a while. You've had some of your songs covered by Alison Krauss, so I think that's a measure of success.
Yes, yes. She's been wonderful to me, very supportive. I met her about 7 years ago. She's always been a huge supporter of my songwriting, but also of me doing what I do, you know, as far as singing my own songs. So she's just been a wonderful mentor and a wonderful friend. I can't say enough good about her. She's been wonderfully supportive. It's a shame to say that it helps when somebody notices you, and I think her taking notice opened a lot of doors for me.
Have you reached the point where your music is supporting you, or do you still have a day job?
Well, I believe that the music industry is a lot like a roller coaster, you know, and just like the stock market, it goes up and down. Some months are better than other months, and some years are better than other years. And while her cutting my songs definitely has enabled me to get out of debt and put some money in the savings account, you know, finally, I still keep doing what I've always done, which is I make visual art as well, and I also do a lot of nannying for friends, you know, nothing full-time, so I can kind of keep my schedule open for the music gigs that I play, but I kind of keep those three things going. Art, music, and children have always been a huge part of my life, those three things in particular.
Well, you were involved in InterVarsity at Towson State University.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about how you got involved with InterVarsity.
Well, initially I went for all my undergrad work at Westchester University in Pennsylvania, and it was in my junior year of college that I really made a commitment to Christ and that I feel like he found me, you know what I mean? And that was when I would say that I became a Christian truly in my heart. When I finished up school there, I had been involved in campus ministry up there, but I moved back home to Maryland from Pennsylvania, and I started going to Towson State to get my art education certification from Maryland, and I barely knew anybody at the school. My mom at the time was going to Christ Our King Presbyterian, which was a church that Eugene Peterson had started years ago, and I'd met a girl there named Heidi Hagedorn at the time, and she was the only other person that I knew that went to Towson State, and this other girl, Jill Martin, and she also was occasionally going there, and so both of them were involved in InterVarsity at Towson and invited me out to I think, the beginning of the year kind of kickoff event. It was really my way of finding a place at Towson, you know, meeting other students and feeling connected when I was just commuting back and forth.
So you were a commuter student that didn't spend all that much time on campus?
Exactly. I mean, I did go back and forth a lot because I had to be there every day for all my classes, but it wasn't like my undergrad experience where I was actually on campus. So it was a great way to connect with other Christians and with just the student body in general, you know.
So your involvement in InterVarsity helped you just feel more at home on campus in general?
Definitely. I loved InterVarsity's approach. You know, there's wonderful things about all different kinds of campus ministry, but I think what I appreciated about InterVarsity was their particular style of evangelism, and I guess meaning that it was more friendship and relationship based. It was in a way that was like earning the right to be able to share your faith with somebody by forming, you know, friendships, and not just with the agenda of, you know, converting them or something, but with the honest approach of just loving somebody instead of walking up and handing somebody a track. But, you know, loving people and getting involved in their lives. I think that set the tone for the way in which I work out my faith with fear and trembling now, you know, and the way I see being a witness.
Were you able to go to camps and conferences and things like that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I went to Urbana back in the early 90s, and I went to, golly, this is really testing my memory. I went to, definitely went to camps. I can't think of their names right now. You know, we went on trips down to Florida, I think, for spring break to kind of...
Those were the beach evangelism projects?
Yes, did some of those. And I think there were camps that I went to, but I'm totally blanking on what they were called. So, but was very involved. Went down to Florida, yeah, like I said, for the beach project. And I'm still friends with some of the people that were involved in InterVarsity. I mean, every now and then I'll get an email from somebody who remembers me or, you know, has, I don't know, finds me on the internet and then realizes that, you know, sort of where life has taken me and they'll write. It's wonderful to reconnect.
I'm standing on a soapbox and I aim to speak my mind. Standing on a soapbox, how'd I ever get this high? Yeah. Above the walking wounded, above the meek and mild, looking down the barrel.
Obviously, the focus is on a challenge to consider missions as a career. You didn't end up going to Africa as a missionary, but it influences people in other ways, too.
Oh, definitely. It was an amazing conference. I was blown away by how huge it is, and also just all the different speakers that come and authors that speak. And the missionaries that share their experiences, and people from all over the world. And it was right at the end of my college experience that I was considering, Heidi and I were considering maybe going to South America. I have cousins that are half Cuban. I traveled before with a choir down to South America, so I was interested in possibly looking into doing sort of a year out kind of a thing after all my school was finished. And so that's what I was thinking. But there was this other, I guess one of my university Bible study leaders, her name was Alice Kim. She was greatly influential, you know, I guess, in the fact that she's a very strong, beautiful woman, and she just kind of, she encouraged me to consider this, you know, looking into going to Budapest, Hungary for a year to teach English as a second language. And I remember thinking, why? Like, it wasn't even on my map, you know, at all, as far as just thinking about Budapest. I was thinking about South America. And when we went to Urbana, she asked me to pray about it. And I was so, I don't know, initially just kind of like not interested, that I put it on the back burner and I didn't really talk to God about it. And then she came up to me at Urbana, and you know, you're still overwhelmed with all of the possibilities of all the different places you could go, and you're really trying to listen to the Spirit to see if one thing over another grabs you or listen for your calling, I guess, in a sense. And she came up to me, and I remember sitting there, and she said, have you even prayed about this? And I was like, no. She's like, pray about it. She's like, I'm serious. We need somebody over there who has your skills in music and in guitar and all that kind of stuff. And I said, well, okay, I'll pray about it. And it turned out that Heidi and I ended up going over to Budapest and not just staying for a year, but teaching English as a second language for 2 years. And even though it wasn't a direct result of Urbana, it was a part of that whole experience, you know. And so I have lived outside of the country and done missions work overseas with youth, also in Ireland in 1999. So.
Do you feel that those experiences are still influencing what you're doing today?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I think living outside of your own country and seeing the world from a different perspective, seeing Christianity from a different culture, seeing the way people worship differently, the way that they live out their salvation differently, I think it put me in contact with all sides of the church. You know what I mean? Liberal, conservative, whatever categories you want to call it. I think it really challenged me in a lot of ways to look at what I believe on a lot of different issues. And it also really challenged my idea of what it means to be a believer, you know what I mean, like in another country. And I think we go over there sometimes with our certain type of ideas or our American ideas, you know, of
right.
The church. It sort of set the tone for my life in that way. I mean, it is different, I think, being a full-time missionary. I have cousins that are. Certainly it's a different thing, but in a lot of ways it's not that different from the way I live my life as a musician. I'm constantly dependent on God, you know, every day for my needs, and I see him meeting my financial needs in the most unexpected ways, and I see him bring people into my life at my concerts and who write to me because they received a record. And I really feel like that's my biggest platform to be salt and light through to the world and to speak hope in the midst of suffering and to affect people for change, I think, more so than being in Africa. You know, I have no skills as a, you know, medical person or something like that, like my cousins do.
So there is a sense of looking at your job as being kind of like a missionary in a certain way.
Oh, definitely. I don't really say that to people very much because that can have certain connotations, especially in the music industry. I think there was a point when I moved to Nashville that I thought I would be in categorized in a, you know, in the CCM world of contemporary Christian music, which is definitely a category in Nashville or in the United States. I got down there in Nashville and I was with a band, and then after the band split up, I really felt interested in all kinds of music and in all genres. and realized that God is, you know, wanted me to kind of see that I wasn't just expected to stay in this camp place, but I was supposed to go out from that, you know, from that category and be outside of the bounds of being just a gospel singer. I don't want to put that the wrong way. I love gospel music, and I love, there's a lot of my friends that do it really, really well. I just felt called to be, I don't know, just to realize that I could sing about all things and not just my relationship with God.
You don't want to be boxed in by a certain kind of label.
No, I think that's where we can really end up just preaching to the choir. There's nothing wrong with preaching to the choir. I think there's a lot of people in the church that need encouragement and need great music and great art. But I think that I particularly love seeing the way that God was working its way out in songs by, like, Buddy and Julie Miller, Emmy Lou Harris, Alison Krauss, Gillian Welsh and David Rawlings, Steve Earle, Del McCurry. I loved seeing the way that they would sing about all things in life, including their relationship with God, and how it could be a real witness. And those are the people that I was listening to and drawn to musically. I think they also had that ability to write about all aspects of life. I wasn't necessarily very good at just writing worship songs. So I found my own voice sort of outside of that camp.
So do you find other musicians have a missionary perspective like you do? Do you feel that from others?
Some people, yes. Sarah Mason is one of my dear, dear friends, and I think she's always looked at it like ministry, even though I don't know if she put it that way. She just is, you know, she just is like mother of three, and I think in her music, a lot of her compassion, her own struggle with what she believes from day to day and what she knows to be true and what she's feeling comes through in her music and really ministers to people. As an artist, I think she's one of the best Christian artists, but I would say she's a Christian and she's an artist, but, you know, she was in the music in the Christian music industry for a long time, and they put out records for her, but a lot of times they would end up not really understanding her as an artist, and because they felt like she was being a bit too vague, too poetic, not, you know, clear enough. I think that sometimes when we put a label on a ministry, there can be all these expectations put on top of you as an artist of, it's supposed to look like this, it's supposed to sound like this, it's supposed to have this many references to Jesus, and it's supposed to be clear, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not, I think you can't do that to artists. You're going to just quench the spirit. Because Jesus was God's creative. And so there's more than one way to proclaim him. So I would say that some of them see it as ministry, but I've met a lot of people that see it as business. I can't operate like that. I mean, if I was in it for making money, I would have quit a long time ago.
Keeps his promise. he's my man. Brought me up out of the pit and made my feet to stand. Yes, he did. Jesus.
Responsibilities with the InterVarsity chapter when you were involved?
Yes. I led Bible studies and was involved mainly. I remember leading Bible studies mainly, and also leading worship. Was definitely a part of that.
So you were a musician and helped lead the worship services.
Yeah.
So this was this one of the first chances that you had to perform before other people, or had you been doing that?
I had started doing that when I was in Westchester, because I literally, that was one of the first things that I desired to do. Just didn't really think about it that hard. I went out and bought a guitar because I had always wanted to play, and started just writing little songs, you know, in my quiet time and just on my own. And I think that first started up in Pennsylvania, but by the time I got to Towson, I could actually play and sing at the same time and you know, read simple charts of music and lead people in worship. Yeah, that had started a couple years before.
So you were a self-taught musician?
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
So what are you thinking about looking ahead in terms of what you want to do and where you want to go?
That's a great question. I've never really been somebody that can project 5 years down the road, or never have, you know, I'm not the kind that has a five-year plan. I'm definitely more of a year-to-year kind of a thing. And I'd like to keep making records. There's a lot of things I long for my life, but I can't control that happening, you know what I mean? So I think I would love to continue to write more for other people. I'd also love to explore writing for film as well, film and television, kind of in that realm. But, I mean, that's all on the music side of things. I don't look too far down the line. I kind of keep the slate pretty open. So I think that's the best I can answer that question.
And you feel good about what you're doing now?
I do. I struggle just like anybody, wondering if I'm on the right road. Wondering if there's something else I could be doing, if I should be over in Africa just holding children and taking care of them. And I'm open to that. I'm open to God changing my mind.
That,
you know,
that sounds like kind of an InterVarsity thing, just being open to what God would, where God would lead.
Yeah, and that's how it is with my life from day to day, from year to year. I mean, I never know what's coming. You call, you know, you emailed me the other day and said, would you do this? Yeah, sure. You know, it's just like that.
Yeah.
I never know from one year to the next what's coming. So I'm open to the possibility that he might completely take me out of this industry to go into something else. But I know that it'll pop. It's, you know, even if I don't get to being involved in, you know, as a professional writer or whatever, I think there's a multitude of things that God could use me for. I want to remain open to that because there's such need everywhere. That's, you know, more important than somebody buying a record. I think I'm really trying to be open to what the next 40 years could look like for me, which could be quite different.
Thank you, Julie Lee, for talking with us today. The musical selections edited into this interview were taken from Julie's album, Stillhouse Road.